In the name of the life-giving and liberating God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
About 15 years ago, my white Honda Civic was stolen from the driveway in the rectory of St. Luke's Church where I was living in Chelsea, Massachusetts. It was one day before my birthday, and by the way, my birthday's coming up in a couple of weeks. The family and I were going over to a friend's house. We walked outside, and there was no car. There was not even the hint of a car. So we called the police, and it turns out that the Honda Civic was the most stolen car of the year. I didn't know, and we called the insurance company. We did all you have to do when your car is stolen, and we arranged to borrow a car from a friend. But I knew that my car was out there. So I began to search for my car, and I was sure I would find it. So from the moment it went missing, I went searching for it. And it turns out that not only is the Honda Civic the most stolen car, but it was one of the most popular cars, especially in white, as my car was. And so once you start seeing white Honda Civics, you see them all over the place. And every white Honda Civic I examined and I said, is this my car? Are you my car? I looked at the dents, I looked at the frame, I looked at the interior. And it got to be a game so that the kids, if we were driving, they'd say, hey, Dad, there's a white Honda Civic. And I'd turn the car and we'd follow it until I could determine it was not my car. Until one day in Salem, Massachusetts, of all places, we were driving. We came upon a car that I swear was mine, parked on the side of the road. And we stopped and I looked at it and it had kind of the same dents, the same interior. And I wrote a different license plate, so I wrote down the number of the plate and the address so I could tell the police that the car, which had been lost, has been found. But they called me first. They called me to say that they found my actual car, which was in a tow lot, not that far from our house. It turns out that it had been towed to the lot probably 3 days before, and when they ran the VIN number, they saw that it had been reported stolen. So we went to get it, and it had been stolen by someone who did not know how to drive a stick shift. So they drove it in first all the way down our road and around the corner where they hit another car or something, and then they parked it, and they left it there for about a month. And I passed by that car many times, I'm sure, but I never saw it until the city decided to tow it away. And when I got there, there was a lot of damage to the motor and the front, and so we had to say goodbye. But at least I knew where my car was. The reason I'm bringing this up is because it's Epiphany. Okay. And the Epiphany is about a search. And I've had this experience of a search in my life as I searched for my car. And that experience taught me a few things about a search. And the truth is that if you're listening to the Epiphany story today and you're not thinking about these wise men making this search, it's the sacred quest, this act of looking for something, whether it's the meaning and purpose of your life or peace or happiness or your car or the Messiah, there is a commonality to search, whatever that search is. And there are some things that are basic truths. And first for me is that the search should be fun. I tried to make it fun as soon as my kids realized that I was going to look at every white Honda Civic. We turned it into a game. And I wonder if your search in your life is fun. I wonder if your spiritual journey and your search for God or for peace or your own quest to find the Messiah, if you do this with joy and with play. Do you play with God? For me, there are few things worse than religion, which is overly serious. Of course, our religion at times is solemn and it is profound, but it should be never so serious that it shouldn't be fun. I mean, after all, look how we're dressed. We're wearing big white dresses. And on Christmas Eve, I get to wear this amazing thing that you only see on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve called the cope. Do you remember seeing the cope? It hangs downstairs most of the year, but occasionally we get it out and I wear it and I say to myself, this is fun. I get to dress like this. This is my job. How great is this? And I think a big sense of my feeling about organized religion comes from playing as a child during long, boring Episcopal church services when my sister and I were 5 or 6 and my mom would give us candy to try and make us quiet, sitting in the pews. That child, and I think you have that child is within us still, that child who wants to play, but there are adults, or perhaps there are other voices in us that say, no, this is serious. What are you doing? You can't play. Life is serious. But the truth is that religion is not so serious because religion is about life. In one of his sermons, Brother Curtis, who's one of the monks at the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Cambridge, writes about being with a man who was a friend of his while the man was dying in the hospital. And the man had a tube in his throat. He was unable to speak, so they would he would write and scribble on a piece of paper. And as Brother Curtis made his final visit to the man, they prayed together and they cried. And then at one point, the man wrote on the piece of paper, "Is it happening?" And Curtis said, "Is what happening?" And the man scribbled down, "Dying." And Curtis said, "Are you asking if you're dying right now? Is that what you're asking?" And the man nodded yes. And Curtis looked at him and said, "You know, I don't know. I've never done this before." And then Curtis looked at the man and he said, "Well, you've never done this before either, have you? Is this your first time?" And they both laughed, and they laughed so much because life is funny. One of the prayers we enter with in 2020 is that we play with this journey and that we let the child within us play as well, because God created us in God's image, and as little children, we are so amused by things. Our hands, car keys, the faces of other people, our feet are so fun. But at somewhere along the way, someone comes to you and says, "You know, life, you got to be serious. You got to buckle down. It's not that fun. And church is serious and God is serious." But the truth is, think of how much God plays with us all the time. We are made in God's image, so let's play this year. And the second thing that I reflect on as I think about my stolen car and the search and the meaning of Epiphany is the fact that you can't have your mind made up if you're going to do a search. You can't have your mind determined. I was so sure that my car was out there and it was going to be on the road and I would find it that I probably drove by my actual car 15 times without ever seeing it because I was looking for something else. The wise men in the story of Epiphany had this powerful insight into just where they were going because they were following that star. And yet, once they got to Herod, they had to stop and ask for directions, which we hate to do. They had to stop and ask for directions because they didn't know exactly where the baby was to be born. Where is the King of the Jews? They didn't know. This year, as we begin 2020, are we aware of how much we don't know? That we don't know what we don't know? How little we know about what's going to happen this year to us, to our world, to our families, to our friends, to those we care about? We're just pretending we know. We just hope we know. And we're heading in a certain direction because we're following a star. But imagine a year ago at the beginning of 2019, could you have predicted all that happened last year? Our journey in 2020 will be strengthened when we can admit that we don't know what we're looking for. We don't know really where we're going. And so we have to ask through the course of the year, we have to ask for help. Faith requires help. It requires coming here and asking through prayer. It requires asking God here at the altar. It requires asking God through the Bible, through our friends, through those we come to church with, listening to sermons, through our inspiration, and through sharing our struggle. Faith, and my prayer for us in this faith is this year, faith means that we just erase what we think we know. Let's just forget what we're planning for 2020. Otherwise, we're going to pass it by 15 or 20 times. We know we're following a star, but we don't know where it leads. So let's ask along the way. My prayer is that we can say this year, "Help me." And finally, the last thing I wanted to share about this experience was that the thing I was looking for was there all the time. The car was literally 2 minutes away from where I was. And what if the thing that we're looking for, which we think sometimes is so far off, so hard to attain, so impossible to dream, what if that thing is already right here? What if it's right here and it's been here since the beginning? For after all, isn't God here? Part of what's so powerful about the Epiphany story is the realization that this journey that these wise men take is the journey that we all take every single day to find the incarnate God, who's right here, who's right here in the stable, who's right here at the altar, who's right here amidst our friends, who's right here in the sunset, and who's right here in our chests, in our lives, which are beating with life. And the search for that in 2020, that's what this year is all about. It can be about finding the God who's already right here in our lives. We have to take that journey because so much of the time we're not aware of God's presence. So much of the time we're thinking that God is far away, that God is something we'll never find, that God is unattainable. So much of the time we feel like we're questing in the middle of the night on camels, trying to find that one thing that's going to make us complete, while all along that one thing is right here and it's been here the whole time. We don't have to drive out looking for our car. We don't have to quest by night through the desert. We just have to open our eyes and our hearts to the knowledge that the incarnate God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Counselor, has been born in our midst. So we can lay our treasures down. Think about that. We can lay our treasures down today. And my prayer for us in 2020 is that we lay them down here in our midst and realize that the journey so far is over, for God has been born, and now the good part begins as we try and go out and change the world. And we'll hear more about that in the weeks to come. Amen.